Today's podcast is sponsored by the Aero Cart by Works. Works has reinvented lifting and hauling with the new Works Aero Cart. With the Aero Cart 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works, heavy loads are easy to lift and haul. It's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. And with patented TurboLift technology, it makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17 pounds. With two oversized wheels, even awkward loads stay balanced, so you'll never have to strain your back. You could see people lifting bags of topsoil, gravel, and even refrigerators without any help if you check them out over on Works.com. Move it all, lift it all, and haul it all with the new Works Aero Cart. Go to AeroCart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout to receive free shipping and 10% off. That's AeroCart.com, AeroCart.com, and receive free shipping plus 10% off at checkout. I'm Rob Cesternino, and we are back to talk about all of the internet's best stories here for the week of May 17th, 2016, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. The actual factual news is back once again to talk about all of the breaking news stories, as in stories that are breaking the internet as of this week, and very excited to get into it. Let's bring in our News AF team. Of course, here's a man. He did not eat breakfast this morning because he is so excited about this week's show. Tyson Apostles. Tyson, how are you?
So good, dude. I am hungry.
Yes.
For news.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll tell you exactly what Tyson is hungry for in just a minute. Also here with us is the eye in the sky, the great Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
How is it going?
Oh, very good. Very good. Tyson... why don't you tell the viewers and the listeners what you have in store for this week?
So last week we did a story about how eating bananas seductively online was forbidden in China. So online sexy ladies can no longer do that in China legally. It's like a whole underground thing. They have to get on the dark net if they want to see that. And we posed the question, is it possible to actually eat a banana and not be sexy about it? Mm-hmm. So I was going to do that last week on the fly, and we didn't have any bananas in the kitchen. So this week, I promised my viewers, our viewers.
Oh, gonna, two?
That, you're going to double banana.
I have two different non-sexy ideas.
Okay.
So at the end of the show, I'm going to eat part or all of both of these bananas. And yeah, and be as non-sexy as possible, and then we'll let the viewers decide how unsexy it was.
Okay, good. All right, so that's coming up. Tyson, you said exciting. Before the show you wanted to get a certain number of props from the live viewers, or you were not going to perform this stunt.
Yeah, we need 500,000 props.
500,000?
Amongst the three of us.
Okay.
Wow, there's a lot. That's a lot of props.
Like a lot.
It's a lot of props. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
FYI, I will probably do it anyways, but, you know, if you're going to put a number, why not go big?
Yeah. Why not? Go big or go home. You know, I had
been hearing
from a lot of the listeners of News AF. Why is News AF so short? Why isn't this podcast longer?
Oh, interesting.
Well, that's what we want. Keep them wanting.
Yeah. Keep them wanting more. Okay. We have so many stories to get to here today. News AF intern Lita has been quite busy pulling everything together. We get so many stories sent to us from you guys at our tip line, tips@newsaf.news, tips@newsaf.news. So the stories came pouring in. So let's just jump right into it. And why don't we start with the story of, we always talk about the latest breaking pizza news and a happy pizza news story to report, as there was a man in Oregon who apparently has an order that he always calls into Domino's, and yet he did not call it in for 11 days. And so Domino's Pizza sent 911 to the man's house who had a stroke. Danny, can you believe this?
Well, for a man who eats pizza every day, I can.
Yes. You think there was a coincidence?
The stroke isn't the surprising part. That's not surprising. A man who eats pizza almost every day has a stroke isn't news. It's that these people at Domino's, you know, they called because he alone was keeping their store open.
Right. So you think that this is not a happy story of Domino's saved a man? You think that this is more of a sad story of Domino's pizza caused a man to have a stroke? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the cynic in me wants to say yes, that they're like, whoa, look at this revenue dip. What happened? Well, Bob hasn't been calling in. Well, we need to get on that. So they were actually calling to say, hey, man, how come you're not buying pizza anymore? Didn't answer. They sent the cops over there to talk to him. And then they found out he had a stroke.
Yeah. So there was a woman that worked at this Domino's. Her name is Tracy Hamblin. She went to his house and knocked on his door and said, wow. We got no pizza over there. Do you think that there was some sort of a romantic relationship maybe developing between this Domino's employee Tracy and this man Tyson?
I mean, you always want to flirt a little bit with the pizza delivery person, whether it's a guy or a girl, just to ensure that the next time you order pizza, you don't get it spit on.
Right.
So, like, that's
right.
The play. But here's the puzzling part. Did that guy have a stroke on day one of the 11 days, mm-hmm. and he was just lying on his floor for 11 full days until Domino showed up? Or was it just like a perfect sequence where he was like, kind of having those little strokes and heart attacks. So he's like, maybe I'll lay off the pizza. And then the big one came on day 11 as Domino's was checking in on him.
That's a great point. Yeah.
When did he have his stroke in that 11 days?
Yeah.
Can we get a forensics team on this to figure it out?
Do you have any info on the timeline here?
I actually wondered the same thing, but the story does, or at least the article we have, does not say.
Yeah.
But yeah, did he sit there lying in his stroke for 11 days
in his stroke riddled pants?
Did the pizza cause the stroke, or did the withdrawal from not eating Domino's pizza for 10, 11 days cause the stroke? Is Domino's pizza like heroin, where it's really very hard to come down from a Domino's pizza addiction?
Remember, we went over an article that talked about the addiction to cheese and how real it is. And so he probably was coming down. It's just he shouldn't have gone cold turkey. He should have gone with some cheese patches. Like, you tape squares of cheese onto your arm and just absorb the cheese slowly.
Yeah. You know what the street value of cheese is in Canada?
What
is
it?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, happy to hear that Kirk Alexander is on the mend. I mean, do you think that they could make him into a spokesperson in any sort of way? Do you think that he has a Jared type future? Again, not present, or maybe a Jared type past.
I thought you were going to say the Noid. Maybe he could be the new Noid.
Do you think if he had died, they would have chipped in for a tombstone that was just a large pepperoni pizza?
Yeah, tombstone is a different pizza.
That's his favorite pizza order. That could have been his tombstone.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe did you think that one of the other pizza chains tried to take this guy out? Do you think that Pizza Hut maybe tried to poison him? Like, this one guy's keeping Domino's afloat.
Put a bunch of cocaine in his thing to cause him to have the stroke. I don't even know what drugs you would have to try to get yourself to have a stroke. Just cheese.
I don't know.
Cheese don't know every day.
Okay. But he is back on the mend. So good job, Domino's Pizza. And congratulations, Kirk Alexander, who is back. Okay.
Could we find this guy's address and have everybody send him pizzas? Like, just like a get well pizza?
I mean, he has a kind of generic name. I don't know how many Kirk Alexanders are in Oregon. So maybe we can look into it.
Okay.
Pretty sure his doctors have told him not to eat any more pizza.
Yeah, but do you think he's going to be able to resist?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kirk Alexander from Salem. So.
Okay.
You know, maybe we could find him on Facebook or something like that and send him some get well wishes.
Okay. And pizzas.
Yeah. All right. Another person has undergone treatment this week. And again, similarly, a happy story for the man who underwent the world's first successful penis transplant, if you could believe it.
Oh, my God. Penises for everyone.
Yeah.
Finally. So, could you attach penises to your fingers?
Or your face?
I mean,
yeah. Imagine the practical jokes you can play
on your
drunk
friend.
Have
we really explored the possibilities now that we know that it's possible? Where else could we put penises?
So, all right. So let's just see. Let me give you the facts
explore
here.
Okay. Sorry.
So there is a man that went, had an operation performed at Mass General that he lost his organ to cancer in 2012. And so he was the recipient of the transplant. The doctors are hoping that he will regain full functionality soon. So, again, happy story across the board for this man. I saw a picture of him. He did look very, very happy about all of this. And so it's done. Now, again, this is not a cosmetic procedure. I don't believe that this is an elective thing of like, oh, I don't like the one I have. Can I get a new one? But maybe that's something down the road. But as of right now, a happy story for a man who was lost his organ into cancer. So very happy
my
story.
My gosh.
Yes, Tyson.
Penile cancer. Ugh.
It's crazy. I can't even like follow the instructions on a Lego set. And these guys are making, if I understand the story correctly, they made a penis out of other organs. Or did they take an existing penis from an organ donor? Like, I'm an organ donor. Is that dong going to get put on someone else? Or are they using my internal organs to construct whatever they want?
Now, from what I understand from the press release put out by Mass General, that they said the entire transplant team worked tirelessly to ensure our patient is on the path to recovery, thanks in part to the gift of organ donation.
Tyson, your dong is going to live on after you die. Doesn't that make you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a 20-year-old penile transplant patient, want an 80-year-old saggy scrotum?
He's not getting a scrotum, but I'm sure he'll be happy with any dong.
Okay. Yeah. I'd go scrotum only.
I don't think you would.
That I feel like they could make from other parts. I feel like that there's nothing inherently
eyelids,
unique.
Maybe
yeah, I feel like that's
something.
Sort of like they could do like the, you know, take you know, skin from anywhere else and sort of make that if that was something that you had lost. I think that they.
Well, you hear that, Mass General? Challenge on.
Yeah.
Wow. The world we live in. This is exciting.
It really
things
is.
Are happening. This is the future.
Like, I'm glad this story had a happy ending.
The best thing was, like Rob mentioned earlier, every picture I saw of this guy throughout the week as I kept seeing the story, he was so happy. I mean, I've never seen someone so happy.
He's like two thumbs up.
You would be.
Yeah, he was doing this. He was doing the, yeah, hey.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm stoked
story.
For that
I'd
guy.
That.
Yeah, so it's all very exciting news. A representative from the hospital said that that they feel like that they're delighted to have taken the first steps to help patients who suffered silently for far too long. So this is we are going into a bold new direction in medicine.
Really, really amazing. Is there a way we could get this guy's address and send him some congratulatory pizzas?
Okay, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Why, you want to give him a stroke?
Oh, Danny, come on.
We don't know if it was the pizza.
Okay, but a guy who eats pizza every day.
Yeah. So anyway, and this man is also recovering well, and they feel like that there is could be a bright future for this type of transplantation.
As long as it's not abused.
Yes.
I mean, like people wanting horse organs and stuff like that, I feel like that's maybe a line we shouldn't cross.
Right.
Frat boys sewing dongs to their drunk friends' faces.
No, well, that's sort of like human centipede
stuff. And you're not going to be able to order a kit online, well, at least not yet. So frat boys won't be able to do that, Tyson.
Okay.
Be realistic.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So congratulations to the recipient, Thomas Manning, who is the recipient of the world's first transplant.
Congratulations.
There you go. Okay. All right. So many other news stories to talk about today. This is a less happy story about a man in China who was a true romantic at heart, and he fell in love with his neighbor and decided to make a bold declaration of his love for his neighbor out of 840 Rubik's cubes and made a portrait of her using only Rubik's cubes. And unfortunately, that this was not enough to woo over the woman that was the recipient of this gesture.
Whoa, look at that.
Yeah, have you seen this thing?
That is impressive. I mean, he could have done that with tile. It would have taken like a fraction of the time.
So he's made like this sort of mosaic tile, like caricature of this woman.
She had to have said yes, right?
No, she said no. She rejected him. He spent several months and hundreds of dollars planning the project. And she said, you know what? I think it's kind of creepy.
Wow. So did she like him before?
No, she did. I don't think she ever liked him. I think this is just his
neighbor.
Were they
ever dating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they weren't even dating or anything.
No. It was just his neighbor, and he was in love with her, and he
smitten.
Yeah. I mean, look, like somewhere along the way, this guy got the wrong idea, because it seems like that, you know.
Yeah, when she said hi to him.
Yeah. He says, I simply wanted to surprise her and tell her that I like her, but I was rejected.
Many.
He played
feels.
It pretty cool, but you kind of have to after you get rejected after months and months of planning. That was impressive. The months and months of planning, impressive. The couple hundred dollars was like, oh, that's, I mean, in
this
China,
guy's watched,
you never know.
He's watched too many movies. He thinks that the grand gesture will seal the deal no matter what. He
right.
should have tried yeah. to maybe take her out to dinner, have a conversation with her, rather than spying on her through the peephole and then sketching her as he spied on her through the peephole
right.
so he could erect this Rubik cube thing.
I mean, Tyson, do these sort of big moves work in real life? Like, there is a woman that somebody has a crush on. Does it ever work that this person makes some sort of a big, bold gesture and is like, look, I've made this for you. And then the woman is like, oh, great, I want to be your girlfriend now.
Let me tell you this.
Okay.
In the imagination and hearts of women, they want to say that that works because they
right.
want the grand gesture. But whenever it happens from some creepo.
Mm-hmm.
And it never works.
Right.
It never, ever really works. So they're like, we want that. We want the grand gesture.
They don't want
and,
that.
And they don't really want
that. They don't
that.
Want that.
They think they do because they've watched.
They
yeah, they think they
yeah.
want it and they tell you they want it, but they really, they don't want it.
Tyson, did Rachel, when you were dating, did she appreciate that portrait you did of her with hair from her comb and fingernail clippings?
Yeah, she liked it.
Right. Because in the movies, when it happens, it still happens from some like kind of hunky guy. Like it's still...
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, maybe the part of the recipe that's missing is hunkiness.
Right, right. It's like, oh, wow, this is great, but just
yeah.
like, it's just like some guy... no, not that
it's
interesting.
It's not Brad Pitt.
Right. It's
yeah.
not Brad. It's
That's
not
exactly
Brad Pitt.
It.
It is.
I've gotten in trouble before for not doing the grand gesture, but it's like, I'm still married.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. And if they were already
nice.
Dating, I think that this would have been like, wow, this is amazing. But the fact that he was just her neighbor, I think really went from the scale of, you know, it's a fine line between creepy and romantic. And I think
this is definitely
way
on the
too
I don't think
scale.
It's a fine line at all. Creepy and romantic is a fine line.
I
yes,
think so.
I think so.
Okay. Yep. I just think if you even have to pause for a second and say, is this creepy or romantic? It's definitely creepy.
No, I disagree on two fronts. One, I think, is the relationship of the, you know, if he was married to this woman and he did it, I don't think it would be creepy. I think that would be romantic. And also,
okay.
I think that in the eyes of the woman, I think it depends on the attractiveness of this man. If he was, you know, a
young Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a young Jackie Chan. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the
right.
question of the day then, Rob.
Yes.
What's the creepiest thing you've done for Nicole?
The creepiest thing I've done for Nicole? See, I don't know if there's anything that you would say was creepy that I would do for her.
What if we asked her the same question?
What's the creepy? I mean,
would
I don't think
she'd
have a good answer.
Would she definitely have
yeah.
some creepy... No.
The thing is, like
so
Rob
you're
was
all
pointing
romantic.
Out,
you know where the line is.
No, like Rob was pointing out, the only way he could have done something creepy would have been early in the relationship. Because mm-hmm. as the relationship goes on, the creepy thing becomes romantic.
Did you do anything creepy early on?
Did Nicole do anything creepy for me? No, again,
either way.
If there's an attraction, and there used to be at one point, that then there's no creepiness there. It's the person okay. who you say, like, oh, I'm not attracted to this person. They did this romantic thing. It's super creepy. So it really just depends on what the attraction is. This was just her neighbor. So, you know, making a mural of her face with Rubik's cubes, super creepy.
Over the course of 7 months.
Right. And wow. not even telling cool her. Guy. Like, she probably never even talked to him before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she
sounds pretty great.
And he was probably so excited.
Come to my apartment. Yeah. And then she comes into his apartment, and it's the equivalent of seeing all these black and white pictures of her on the wall taken without her knowing during walks on the street. Yeah. It's pretty close to that.
Right.
He just didn't own a camera. He just had lots of Rubik's cubes.
I mean, I don't even know how he got this idea of like, oh, like 840 Rubik's cubes. I'll just make her face and I'll solve it for each one and then put that up. I mean, just the effort and time that went into it. And it was just the biggest turnoff ever. Incredibly creepy. She probably had to move this morning.
For sure.
Yeah.
If he didn't get arrested.
Probably. Hopefully the bright part of this story is hopefully there's some woman out there who reads this story and is like, oh, I would totally date that guy. And then he ends up dating a girlfriend. But then he probably is like, oh, well, this is creepy that some woman wants to just date me.
Yeah, she saw me online and now all of a sudden she's that's in creepy. Love with me.
So, yeah, we can never win. Nobody can ever be happy. It's a sad story. hopefully, if people are out there looking for him, his name is Tong Aonan. He's a mechanic from the northern Chinese city of Shenyang.
So women can send him pizzas if they want to woo him.
Send him a Rubik's Cube mural of pizza. I think he would appreciate it.
Okay.
That. Okay. All right. Here's a story that kind of bummed me out. There's a new study out from MIT and Tel Aviv University that suggests that we are bad judges of who we consider friends. The study, which was of college students, found that up to half the people we consider our friends do not feel the same way about us.
Tyson?
This is terrible.
Terrible news.
I feel like both of you guys are my friends, but I don't know how you feel about me.
No, Tyson, we're best friends, for sure.
Okay.
No, I believe that. I believe that.
Why did your eyes shift? Danny's eyes shifted when he said that.
Yeah.
Did I look to the left? Isn't that what it is?
Yep.
Tyson,
yep, you look
we
to
are
the left.
Best friends. Mm.
Yeah.
See, I don't work out as much as I used to, so Danny's like falling out of love with me.
Is that true?
I don't hang out with out of shape people, Tyson. Sorry. That's just a rule I have.
Uh-oh.
I know. Uh-oh. Wait till you meet Rob.
Yeah. Hey, I was on the elliptical machine today. All right.
Ooh.
I'm going to say something, though, about this study. They're asking people in college, right? Mm-hmm. College is that time when you meet a lot of new people. And so you have a lot of friendships that are just, they're starting to bud. They're starting to produce results, but they're not long term. Like Tyson and I have known each other for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't people, he's not someone I met in college. And so, I mean, yeah, of course, a lot of those people are just loose associates, not friends.
Yeah. So I guess they're talking about how there's a lot of times where people, it's a one-sided friendship, much like the plight of our friend with the Rubik's Cube. He was in a one-sided relationship. He thought he had a romantic connection with the woman, and she did not. She did not reciprocate that. Apparently, this goes on a lot more than we realize.
Yeah, this is seems to be some kind of pandemic. We might want to throw some more money at solving this problem.
The study also found that social influence is heavily impacted by mutual relationships. That is, people who you have a mutual friendship with have much more influence over your actions and beliefs than people who you are in a one-sided friendship with. Okay, so I think that makes sense. The people
that's correct.
Know, to be loved and to be loved in return, that is the greatest friendship you could have, like you and Danny.
Of all time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the man with the Rubik's Cubes always wanted.
Yeah, no, this really bummed me out because then I was just like trying to think about it. I feel like that.
Going through everybody's every relationship you've ever had.
Yeah. And because, you know, I don't have a lot of friends to begin with. And I'm like, you know, probably everybody that I know, it's probably just more one-sided than I realize. And just really, really just the whole thing bummed me out. Even,
Well, remember that article? We didn't talk about it, but two weeks ago, an article came out that said that you really, in your life, only have four or five friends, max. So this kind of goes along with that. And all these people that you think are your friends are not really your friends. You really only have a core group of friends that's about four.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but then you have a broader group of friends that's about 20.
Yeah, but 20. Real friends, real reciprocal friends, that's four.
Here's the thing. I think this is how you judge it, Rob. Mm-hmm. Who would do a favor for you and who would you do a favor for?
Yeah. Who would help you move?
Nobody. I'd have to hire movers.
Nobody?
Nobody.
Rob, remember when I was in California and you were like, oh, my family's kind of under the weather. Do you mind if you just come to my house? And we drove an hour to your house?
Yes.
That's friendship.
Tyson is a very good friend. I really do believe that. I hope you don't feel like I'm just being like podcast BS. I know a lot of people, and I do feel like that with these I don't want to get schmaltzy here, but Tyson I feel like is a very good friend, and Tyson is a very loyal friend to his friends as well. So
I really
do mean that.
See, Danny.
Aww. Yeah.
Nice.
See, Danny, I can be loyal.
Our friendship isn't built on feelings.
I know.
Experience.
Yeah.
It's built on hatred for others.
Hatred.
Yeah. But I'm even wondering, like, I feel like maybe I have like this one-sided friendship with my wife too.
I thought you were going to say your son.
No, that's mutual. That's mutual.
Okay. Well,
I think, you know, he likes me, I like him. I'm worried about this. This is just like now creeping into I'm getting self-conscious about everything.
You want to know what kind of people are involved in the study are the people who worry about having friends. The way to understand who is your friend is not to worry about friends at all.
Just don't think about it.
The people who overthink friendship, they're the ones with no friends.
Yeah.
Because then they're on that questionnaire answering and they're like, did he say that I was his friend? I hope he did, but what if he didn't? I'm going to look really stupid if I put that I'm his friend and he didn't put that I'm just going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Or they say yes because they don't want to upset the other person. I don't really know them, but I would consider us friends. People just don't. They're not familiar with the definition of a friend.
You have to have like mid to late 30s people answering these questions, not teenagers fresh in college who are trying to be popular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm already popular. Like, it's like BFD, you know?
Yeah, this was also probably a much bigger deal during the MySpace era when you had like a top eight. And then you had to sort of like, okay, oh, how come I'm in your top eight, but you're not in my top eight?
Congratulations, you just made my top eight, bro.
Yeah, and then also like you'd like get in a fight with somebody, and then you drop in the order. It's like, oh, I used to be top row, now I'm second row. What's up with that? You drop me down. So thank God, you know, MySpace was really the cause of most of these problems that people would have for like 2 years.
Now we don't ever notice them.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's his name's problem now.
Tom?
No, not Tom. Who Jessica Biel's husband, Justin Timberlake, he bought MySpace.
At least
the group that...
it is Justin.
So that's his problem.
JT's,
He's in everybody's top
out.
Eight.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So over in Finland, that there is a new place, a new relaxing place, that you can go to. There's a new spa, which is the world's first Burger King spa.
No.
Yes.
Can I just say
that's so wrong
that whenever I'm eating a hamburger, I think, God damn, I wish I was in a sauna. Yeah. And whenever I'm in a sauna, I think, God damn, I wish I had a burger. So this makes perfect sense to me. Like, if you're going to eat a burger, you want to be covered in sweat and in like 160 degrees.
Yes, agreed. Like eating in Thailand.
Now, what on earth possessed people to combine the chocolate and peanut butter of a Burger King and a spa, Danny?
What possessed them? Some kind of evil fast food spirit? I'm looking at pictures, though. It looks
like
nice.
A nice spa, right?
Yeah, it does look like a nice spa. Very colorful. It makes me want to eat because that's what those colors do. And it's got the little thing that you pour on the hot rock. So while you're eating a hamburger, you're dumping the water onto the hot rocks to create the steam.
Do they cook the burger on the hot rocks?
Yeah.
You could drip a little hamburger juice on there for some good smell, dude.
There are places you should not eat food. Your bed, in a spa, or in a hot tub. Pool.
Three.
Don't
There's
eat in a
only
pool.
Three places.
No, a pool and a hot tub, I think, are kind of the same thing. It's just so gross.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It should be outlawed. China should outlaw that. Why does we should get the Chinese people on that? Because, I mean, exotic banana eating and eating in a spa.
Yeah, the Burger King spa. I mean, I just don't understand. Like, if you're eating a hamburger, why do you want to be in a spa? And if you're in a spa, why do you want to be eating Burger King?
Also, you shouldn't eat while taking a shower either. I'm looking at this picture of the shower set up in the spa. I mean, maybe I'm going to try. You know what we should do? We should all try this next week to go to these places and eat food while doing one of these things.
Should we? Can't we just start a Kickstarter and get ourselves over to Finland and have a little bro spa day?
We'll do a live news AF from Finland.
Yeah.
Also, let me just add on top of this. Number one, I don't want to be eating Burger King naked. And number two, I don't want to be eating Burger King around other naked people eating Burger King.
Mm-hmm. And number three, I don't want to be eating Burger King.
Maybe Burger King in Sweden is different, or Finland
is
different.
I bet it's awesome. Yeah,
maybe it has like reindeer meat. And
yeah, moose burgers.
Moose burgers, it just tastes better.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Moose is a leaner, healthier meat.
Yeah. Do we know, is this an actual factual idea? This isn't like some sort of like Nathan For You type thing that he's working on?
I just looked at that article was on CNN as well, and I looked through it. So I would hope
Nathan
they would
For You has been on CNN before.
I know. But yeah. I don't know. It looks great. These pictures, if
15
they're real.
15 people can fit in the spa and eat Burger King at the same time.
I want to be there at capacity.
Yeah. Eating those limp French fries that are hanging over super sad because of all the moisture in the air.
Your food never gets cold.
Yeah. You keep your food warm. That's a good point.
Yeah. It's like sitting under a heat lamp.
That's true. It's like
maybe that's
a
how
human
they came up with
lamp.
The idea. It's like the fries are under the heat lamp. It's like, boy, what if, you know, it's so warm. It's so cold here in Finland.
Yeah.
Imagine we could just be so warm eating Burger King under these hot lights.
Gosh, you know how bad people look eating naked? It's just all the folds, everything. It just totally put you off eating anything at all.
Yeah.
All right. Juice dripping down onto their oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then on top of that, another story, a dating story. There's a new website called Awake Dating, which is for people to meet each other who are conspiracy theorists who have woken to the truth about the world's conspiracies. Okay, what do you think about this, Tyson? You're a big conspiracy guy.
I was always under the impression that conspiracy theorists never dated.
Yeah, well, until now, they didn't have a way to meet somebody.
I guess
this could be the biggest conspiracy of all. Get them all together and then eradicate them.
And then chemtrail them right in their
faces. No, I'm saying if you're a government agency and you think these people have gotten the truth and they're going to spread it, out them and then eliminate them. I mean, this is the biggest conspiracy of all.
So you think that the conspiracy theorist dating site is just a way to collect information about the people that are way into conspiracy theories?
You know, catfishing, and they're going to reel in all of these conspiracy theorists, and then all of a sudden they're just going to start disappearing. They go on a date, a black sedan comes by to pick them up for that date, and they're whisked off to Area 51 to be probed.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say. Dropped off at Area 51, and then chemtrails dropped all over them.
Uh-huh. One airplane just doing continual spirals around Area 51.
Yeah. So, it would be great if it worked, but yeah, I feel like you're ruining it for everybody.
Hmm. Why?
Because now I feel like that the conspiracy theorist who is excited about this...
No, I'm warning him. I am saying, look, you haven't thought about this. You're excited because you're going to find people like you, but isn't that what they want? All of you together in one place on the internet where they can locate you and track you down and then put you in camps?
This is... I'm on the website.
That's very appropriate.
Are you single? Do you feel like nobody is vibrating on your frequency? Or do sleeple just not get you?
Sleeple?
Sheeple or sleeple?
I thought he said sleeple.
Welcome to Awake Dating, you can meet real people with real awareness who, just like you, deserve someone to face the truth with.
So,
dude,
where I can meet real
means people who are asleep because they're awake.
Because it's Awake Dating.
I get it.
Sleeple.
It turns out that there's also paranormal date, which is another
that's
dating
different.
Website like this. This is finally a dating and friendship site to meet others with similar interests. Find your match among people that share an interest in paranormal, science, life after death, ghost stories, Bigfoot, UFOs, alternative medicine, and conspiracy theories.
People are just trying to find others who, it makes sense. It's great to laugh at, but we basically just surround ourselves with people who think the same things that we do.
There's also a radio ad for Awake Dating. Do you want to hear this?
Ooh. Oh, yes, I do. Yep. Yes.
Okay. It's
impossible to meet someone. Awake.dating is here for you. Matching all kinds of people is what we do.
If you kind of a peppy.
I know exactly where they play that spot. What is that radio show that talks about paranormal activity? Something to something. Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, Space Ghost Coast to Coast?
No, there's a radio. I'm sure somebody knows what I'm talking about. I've listened to it once or twice late at night. And that's exactly where that spot probably plays.
Yeah. Now, doesn't that seem, though, that
once
like
or twice?
Right, isn't it kind of happy for the conspiracy theorists? Like, I feel like that's they're not really like capturing their demo, I feel like.
Well, why can't conspiracy theorists be happy? What are you saying, Rob? They all have to be glum?
Yeah, dark and mysterious and
you're thinking
brooding.
Gothic.
Gothic?
You're thinking
you're
of
thinking emo.
I don't know. Do you ever meet like a really like positive, optimistic conspiracy theorist?
No, they're angry.
Kind of negative, I feel like, to begin with.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's the first sign that it's all a setup. Obviously, the
they
happy
know their
ad.
Target right. demo. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. This is a good story about a woman in the UK. This week she posted an email she got from a couple who recently she attended the wedding of, and she was accused by the couple of not giving enough money for their wedding.
I love the line that she uses to kind of say, hey, she goes, we were surprised that your contribution didn't seem to match the warmth of your good wishes on our big day.
Yes. Okay. The woman, she's a former colleague of the bride, and she gave the couple $144.
That's more than enough.
More than enough?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tyson, did you and Rachel send out any of these letters after your wedding last year?
I don't even know if we got any wedding gifts.
You don't know if you got any wedding gifts.
We didn't get any wedding gifts.
Yeah, but you had a smaller wedding.
Small wedding with family only, and we told family not to give us wedding gifts.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
that's why you didn't get
email,
any.
Like, when we said not to give wedding gifts, we were just being nice. Obviously, you missed the subtext, which was we still wanted a gift.
Well, hopefully they're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, you just borrow her phrase, the warmth of your good wishes didn't match your contribution.
Yeah.
You said you were happy for us. But
it doesn't seem like you were that happy for us.
Yeah, or else you would have gotten the golden goblets we asked for from Target.
Yeah. Well,
hold on. That's so weird.
So that the woman, I guess, got a big inheritance. So do you see the other side of this at all? Do you feel like that, like if you invite somebody to your wedding and they just recently... got a big like Tyson, after you won Survivor, did you feel like people were inviting you to more weddings?
Yeah, I was getting invited to weddings left and right.
People were like, hey, what gives?
The other part of the story I don't really get is that she went on to a forum, the woman who was being asked to give more, she went onto a forum to say, what do I do now? It seems like it's pretty straightforward what you do. You send back a two-word response. you know?
Yeah. S my D.
Well, how about this response that she did send back? She wrote back to the couple and said, I assume this was some sort of a mistake, question mark. And then she never heard from them again. Like, what was the mistake that they sent you this letter? I mean, sure, obviously it was a mistake, but I don't believe that it was in error. Like, I don't think that they, like, oh my God, I can't believe we sent you that. That wasn't supposed
to be. It was a mistake, but it wasn't an accident.
I can't believe we sent you that handwritten letter put into an envelope and then your address was written on it. How did that get through the cracks?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Weird, weird story. Don't do that. That's not a good luck, that move. Okay. Tyson, this is, I feel like this might be something that you might be interested in. So Google is paying people in Arizona $20 an hour just to sit in driverless cars as the cars drive themselves around. Okay. Is this a gig you might be interested in?
I'm in.
You're right. You know, Tyson, I recently was watching on Snapchat where I'm not sure if it was yours or Rachel's, but I feel like that Rachel was in a car that was being driven by a computer.
Yeah, a Tesla. Our friend owns a Tesla.
And so the Teslas are already doing this?
Yeah, they drive. What they do is they have cameras surrounding the vehicle and they just stay in between the lines. So as long as you're on a route, it will keep on that route as long as there's lines painted on the road. So now you can get on I-15, which comes right by our house, and drive all the way to you, Rob, without ever having to touch the steering wheel as long as the lines are painted well enough on the road.
What if they're not?
Then it alarms. It sets off an alarm to grab the steering wheel.
Okay. So
how much warning does it give you? Grab the steering wheel right now.
Well, it follows the car in front
of
you too.
Where are the lines?
I can't see anything.
It follows the car in front of you.
How far does it follow the car in front of you?
You can set it to how far, and then it's aware of all the other cars around you. So if you flip the blinker, it will make the lane change for you when it's clear to make the lane change. If you don't grab the steering wheel when it wants you to, it'll turn its hazards lights on and move to the right until it's on the shoulder and then put the car in park.
If it doesn't know where the lines are, how's it going to know where the shoulder ends? Because if it miscalculates going to the shoulder, like ramming cars off the road and then going into the ravine.
It doesn't ram cars off the road. I already told you it's aware of all the cars.
I know you told me, but I just feel like it going to the shoulder, which isn't a great place to drive.
Why don't you come try it for yourself?
So, Danny, you're out on the self-driving car?
You don't want a Tesla.
I want a self-driving car, but I don't want to get $20 an hour to drive in them. But by the way, there's two jobs. So, Tyson, you have to pick between the guy who sits in the passenger seat and takes notes or the guy who sits behind the wheel and just stares.
Oh, I was going to have the... I'd obviously want to be the guy who just stares. I don't want to take notes. But I thought maybe the car could just come pick me up like late at night and I could just sleep in it as it's driving me around until morning time.
Now, sure, is this a good job that you get paired up with somebody? I mean, do you have any sort of like choice in terms of like...
There's a dating website.
Right.
And you just go in and fill out your info.
Definitely not a dating site for conspiracy theorists, because that's like the worst place for them to be.
Yeah.
A car putting out tons of data.
Yeah. So that's going to be in the Phoenix area if you're interested in that job. Seems like a pretty good gig, I got to say.
Yeah, it does seem cool. Yeah,
but it requires you to work for Google for 12 to 24 months.
Okay, so what's the problem?
If it sucks, you're locked in for almost 2 years.
Wait, you can't quit?
Well, I mean, you can quit, but I'm just saying that they're looking for people who are willing to sign contracts for up to 2 years. You quit if you're not a man of your word, Tyson.
Yeah.
Well, if I know one thing, it's that contracts don't mean shit nowadays.
Only because people like you won't honor them, Tyson.
Okay.
It's not me. It's everyone else.
All right. Let's talk about a dog. A man was arrested in the UK after he made a video of his pug doing a Nazi salute in response to hearing the command Sieg Heil, which has received over 1 million views on YouTube.
I didn't even know you could get arrested for having a racist dog. I mean, this is a warning to everyone out there to check your pets and see if they're racist.
Yeah. So what breeds are the most racist?
That
would
question.
Be something to learn.
I would have thought a German Shepherd.
See, I think that there are no racist dogs. I think that the man has taught his dog to be racist. I think that's the big problem.
This is an innocent being.
Yes, he didn't have a child to corrupt, so he's like, dude, I'm never going to have kids, but I can sure mess with this dog.
Because he's taken pictures of the dog watching Hitler speeches.
Jesus, dude.
Right.
So this guy just had like Hitler speeches like lying around his house where he's like, okay, let's get this dog on the program.
I think he's watching them on YouTube or something like that.
Well, guys, there's a couple things
Hitler has a channel on YouTube.
First of all, he says that he's not a racist. He goes, I am not a racist at all. Anybody who knows me
that's
can
the
tell
first
me
sure
that.
Sign of a racist.
Yeah.
And then he says, honestly, I don't hate anyone. The whole purpose of this was just to annoy my girlfriend.
Okay. That's kind of a plausible story.
That kind of makes sense. It's probably her dog. And also, he apologized to the Jewish community for the video somehow.
Yeah. So what do you think about this, Dan? Is this actual factual, actual craptual? Are you buying this?
Well, which part of it?
Are you buying the story that the man, oh, I'm not actually a racist. I was just trying to get on my girlfriend's nerves.
I'm looking at a picture of him, and he sure has all the signs.
He does fit the profile.
He does fit the profile. I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but he does fit the profile. So is he a racist? I don't know. Is his dog a racist?
Probably.
For sure.
Yeah, he has a number of face piercings.
Yes, which doesn't make you a racist.
Yeah. No.
But he has lots of tattoos, and I'm looking to see if there's any like Aryan Brotherhood or swastikas on his body. I don't see any, but...
Does he have a shaved head?
No, but he has a beard.
There could be tattoos
Again,
under the
Not really
under
a beard.
Hair.
It's not an indication that you're a racist.
No. That's look, a beard alone does not... Look,
the one sure sign
does not
that
a racist,
racist
make.
Is that you hate certain peoples. That's the only way to be sure that he's a racist, to find out
a
if
beard alone
hates.
Does not a racist make.
Right. Yes. But, you know, face tattoos plus... I'm sorry. Face piercings plus tattoos of people holding guns, plus posting videos of pugs watching Hitler videos, I think are all, I think, indicators pointing in
that's
a certain direction.
That's the trifecta. Yeah, that's the trifecta for
it
sure.
It can also be the indication of a guy who just doesn't really, he just doesn't have it figured out. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know anything about World War II. He doesn't know anything about Hitler other than there's this dude with a funny mustache who makes what looks like to be very passionate speeches, and his girlfriend hates
it. Yep.
And so she hates it so bad, he took the time, because he's unemployed, to teach his dog to do the
whoa,
same
whoa,
Kyle.
Whoa. You're accusing this man of being unemployed.
Or he's a dog trainer, because obviously he's pretty good at training animals to do things. Maybe there's a future for him.
Yeah.
He could be the next dog whisperer.
Right.
Yeah.
He could get dogs to do hateful things.
Right.
I don't think this guy's going to get along with Cesar Gregalis.
Cesar Gregalis?
Or whoever the dog whisperer is.
Cesar, I think, is right. I don't know.
Cesar Milan. Cesar Milan.
Yeah.
Cesar Milan.
Yes. All right.
I don't even know who Cesar Gregalis is. I just came up with that name.
Might be one of the commenters. All right. Then also, one other story to touch on this week. We always like to talk about Kickstarters that are active, but there was a Kickstarter which recently did not become a smash hit. This was a Kickstarter that you wore on your belt or your waistband, and then you programmed in the meals that you ate in any given day, and then it would keep track of how much gas you were passing at certain times of the day, and then would tell you which foods are causing gas. Tyson, would you be interested in a product like this?
No, because I'm pretty certain I know what foods cause gas.
Yeah.
Well, does a device have to be on your belt and then it's kind of like goes down towards your butt?
Does it set off a big alarm every time you fart? Is it like boop?
According to the Kickstarter,
fart.
You put it on your back pocket or attach it to your belt, and then on your you track on your phone app the foods that you eat, and then it tells you how much, you know, how much gas you're passing.
And you know, I can see this. This has a place on the belt of the kind of person who puts his phone on his belt. He could probably have one.
He could
I could see
this.
Someone like that using
Here's this. The thing. They could start a whole social media with this because you know how Strava tracks your running and your bike riding? You could have like a fart one where you can see how often your friends are farting and how big their farts are and where they're farting.
Sure. Sure. They were trying to raise $180,000.
Ambitious.
For this project. And they've raised $3,827.
Does the technology for this even exist? Do we have some kind of olfactic sensor that can separate smells into their, you know, individual whatever?
Well, what happens, say, you're in the Google self-driving car with your partner? Mm-hmm. And your partner has like just you know eaten like a bean burrito for lunch. Is this
with extra cabbage?
Right. Does this product work to that level? Can it only tell what's coming from you?
I think it just times. So it's a certain time, and it's just based off a generic time that your digestive tract works. So they're like, oh, you farted now, and you ate a bean burrito 6 hours ago. That's about right.
Yes. You know, people have been spending a lot of time trying to solve the fart problem. You know, they have that underwear.
Is it a problem, though?
A filter.
Yes.
It is. If it's not your gas, it's a problem for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you have
Thank
Beano.
You
have
very
the underwear.
Complimentary to my gas, Danny.
That has a filter. You have, you know, the toilets in Japan that do the perfume. You have all these things, but nothing is really solving the problem. We spent all this money on cancer research and AIDS. I think maybe we should divert a little bit of that money to this problem.
And who's to say that the fart emissions aren't what are causing those diseases?
Yeah, like seriously.
Do you want to hear a little bit from the video for the Kickstarter for this and see why maybe it's not so successful?
Yes.
I know why it's not successful, but I'm fine if we listen to this video.
Have you been in those uncomfortable situations where you have to control yourself to not do the simple things that humans do? Can you stop sneezing? Can you stop yawning?
No.
Can you control farting? Maybe you cannot control your farts, but now you can reduce them. Let me explain how. This is CH4. CH4 is a device that helps you to keep track of your farts. Really? My farts? What the f***?
Oh, he said the F word.
Yeah,
he Families can
bleep
are
himself
out.
Like Danny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they're not
I mean, would you
000.
Walk around in public where you have a fart monitoring pad on your backside?
It's like might as well have a flag, a brown colored flag that you keep
right
raised over your head.
Like, oh, I guess that guy's farting all the time. He needs one of those.
He's trying to control his farts.
Right, trying to figure out what the problem is.
The CH4. Wow, that's a dramatic name.
Yeah, it really is. It sounds like a robot on Star Wars.
It does.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe that's what they were going for. All right, Tyson. Did you receive enough props to eat your banana?
I think everything's frozen on here. Like the props are frozen.
So
I think the chat room's frozen.
Yeah,
I
agree. All right. So are you still willing to non-seductively eat the banana? I think that the live audience may or may not be able to see it. Danny and I might need to describe the action to the audio viewers.
Yeah, you guys do a play-by-play.
Yes. So we're going to do a play-by-play. When are we going to start?
Okay.
Right now.
All right.
Are you ready?
Tyson holds the banana in his trembling hand. The excitement is palpable.
How big of a banana would you say that is, Danny?
It's an 8-incher. He's holding an 8-incher in his hand. He grips it firmly. His
There's
mouth is showing
a
tinge of white.
Yeah, slight U-shaped curvature. to the banana. I'd say at about a 30 degree angle. No sign of rottenness. Very few bruises or brown spots on the banana as Tyson holds it still in its peel.
He'll be eating a curved banana today. He's breaking the skin, revealing the moist banana underneath. He's peeled one side of the banana. He's going for the other side. Oh, we have a little. Oh, there he is. He's revealed half the banana. Half the banana is now out in the open. The moist banana. One more side. Oh, he's eating it. He's not peeling it all the way, Rob. He is eating. He has taken a bite out of the middle of the banana. He's now chewing the banana.
And he's doing so in a way he seems to be taking no pleasure in this whatsoever. And eating from the middle is probably as unseductive as you could eat a banana.
I've never seen a man with less joy in his face while eating a banana. He is completely devoid of happiness as he's eating this banana.
I'm not seeing any signs of pleasure, but also no signs of revolt at the banana. He seems almost disinterested in this banana that he's eating. I'd say almost like it was a husk of corn.
Mm. He very much is eating it like a husk of corn. He's gotten down to the part where he is going to have to peel the other side of the banana unless he plans to eat it with one side of the banana still on.
Yeah, this is a very unusual technique. I've never seen somebody peel one side of a banana, then eat that side of the banana, but still have a whole peel half on the other side.
Now, we know that he isn't showing any emotion on his face, but what I'd like to know, Rob, and he can't really tell me, is what exactly is he feeling inside of himself as he's has this kind of gelatinous banana goo going down his throat?
Well, he's now removed the peel.
He has. Oh, he has now removed the peel. He is going for the banana again. There are no peel on it. He is still eating it like a cob of corn, and yet something seductive may be coming through right now. What do you think?
Why, are you feeling seduced in some way right now?
I'm feeling a tinge of seducement. I feel like the way he's eating the banana now is maybe a little bit more erotic than he was when he had one side of the peel still on. Mm-hmm. There he goes. He's going towards the tip.
I've noticed a bit of a swallow. The banana is broken in half. It's in two parts
it's in
now.
Half. The it's banana
two,
is half.
It's in two parts now. I've noticed Tyson has cracked a bit of a smile as he takes both halves at once. And I'm feeling that with the smiling, I'm feeling that there's a little bit of a quality is coming across of that. Yeah. I'm having a hard time deciding if that the approach that the is Tyson becoming more attractive as he's eating the banana.
He is double fisting the banana.
Yeah,
and he is cramming.
Is
into
he
his
seducing
face.
Us with the with his charm at this point?
Yeah, now it's gone beyond the banana. He is. The banana is no longer the point. He has now drawn us in through his strange banana eating into him. We are now.
Yes.
I feel like we have joined him as one as he eats his banana.
Okay. So would you say, is this a success? Has Tyson successfully eaten the banana non-seductively, or has he roped us in with his charm?
He roped us in. It didn't work, Tyson.
You think I would still get fined by the FCC of China?
You're going to have to shut that down. Yeah,
They would have shut you down and sent the police to your house.
Too slow.
Dang.
Too slow. Gave us a chance for our mind
faster.
To wander. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that the speed was the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought I have another one.
We'll save it.
Okay. You don't want a potassium overload.
I have a plate with
overload.
A knife and fork right there. I was going to eat the other one with a knife and fork.
Okay, well, say that for when we're live in Reno next week, when we do a live news AF.
So I failed.
Uh-huh. I feel like that probably in the end, I think that our mind only started to wander because it was going on too long.
Yeah, we began.
Well, Danny's
to
commentary was also very sexy.
Yes.
Well, I was describing very literally what you were doing. So if my description was sexy, it was because that's how you made it.
Because I was sexy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fair enough.
Tyson, do you have any reviews of News AF on our iTunes page?
You bet I do.
Okay.
Great.
NewsAF.news is the link if you want to get any of your reviews AF in for our show. NewsAF.news.
Okay. Here we go from Lee W15, Shaka Bros, 5 stars. Rob Tyson and D. Bryson are the 3 best bros around.
Nice.
In fact, Rob is an anagram for bro. So you know these dudes are on the up and up bro-wise.
Mm.
This is the only podcast where you can hear 3 dope dudes go from talking about their favorite breakfast cereals to breaking down the most important news stories of the week in the blink of an eye. These guys are the pinnacle of investigative journalism. They ask the tough questions like, Danny, how many siblings do you have? And Tyson, how long will you be in Hawaii? Mainstream news simply doesn't compare. P.S. Tyson, where did you get that purple hoodie you wear in your Snapchat stories?
Oh.
I want my wardrobe to have the Apostle Seal of Approval. Keep up the good work, dudes.
There you go. That's a great review.
Do you have a hoodie that you just put on every time you Snapchat?
Like, oh, it's the only one I wear Snapchatting.
My uniform.
Yeah, your Snapchat uniform.
I got that on Amazon. It's a an Alternative Apparel is the brand.
Alternative Apparel. Is that a paid endorsement?
Nope.
Okay. Unpaid endorsement.
But I buy them at a discount. I think that hoodie was like $10.
Wow. And what's the connection between that hoodie and Snapchat?
I've worn it in Snapchat, or Rachel's Snapchatted me in it. I think me and Bergen were wearing the exact same colors one day, and it was that purple hoodie, and Bergen had something purple on, so I think that's what it was.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff once again. Do we have a hashtag for this episode?
Unseductive banana.
Unseductive banana? Or did
we decide? Yeah, we decided I was too sexy.
I think you were too sexy, but at least it was the attempt of the unseductive banana. So let's go with that. Great stuff all the way around. We had what was it? It was creep versus creepy versus romantic. Probably too long.
Yeah. Creepy versus romantic.
So next week we will be recording live on Wednesday. So 1 week from on the 25th, we will be recording live in Reno, Nevada, at Jason Somerville's Run It Up event. Very excited about that. Very excited to meet Danny in person for the first time next week.
I better get permission for this.
Yes. Mrs. Danny has to sign off on this?
Yes. It's set in stone now.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't do this if I didn't think she would be cool with it.
Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah, I've said that before. And then, of course, we'll be together for that show next week. So very excited about that. Send in your news stories all week long. Tips at newsaf.news. Thanks so much to Lita for her work getting everything set up for us to talk about. And also, thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre, who edits News AF, the podcast. Have a good one. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Yeah.